says here, not that I have already attained, Paul talking about his life, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And that looks like a confusing statement, but what he means is that he hasn't attained it yet, but he hold on to that for which Christ has, and that Christ has a hold of him. Now, isn't that a wonderful analogy? When you are in him, then he is in you. I lay hold of Christ, I lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Read carefully. I lay hold of Christ, I lay hold, he says, of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. I lay hold, praise the Lord. Such a simple sentence, but so hard to understand. I lay hold of that, of that. What is the that? Of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. Look very carefully. Who lay hold of who first? We got to determine that. The Lord lay hold of me. Do you notice that? The Lord lay hold of me. Now here's a picture. We won't throw this, but if somebody were drowning, oh, this is really nice and long, and you throw them a rope, right? Who lays hold on the rope first? That's the Savior. Right? And he has to hold the rope. Then he passes the rope to somebody. Right? But he doesn't just pass. You know what Jesus did? He actually lassoed you. So he laid hold of you through his Spirit, through his Word. So he laid hold of you. He got you on the rope. Then the rope is all around you, right? There you go. Have you got it yet? Okay. So the rope is on you. So you say, Jesus says, lay hold of that rope. You say, yes, Lord. And you lay hold. And he pull you. Yes, Master. Right. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He has to put his yoke on that. But he says, my yoke. Do you notice he says, my yoke, Matthew 11, is easy and my burden is light. My yoke. Jesus' yoke. And he says, take my yoke. So there are these two oxen, the young one, the new one, and the experienced one. Jesus is the experienced one. Jesus says, you go where I go. So he yokes us to himself. But he has the yoke first. He says, it's my yoke. In chapter 1 and 2, we have Jesus laying hold of us. He took us, he raised us, he seated us in the heavenly places. The word lay hold in the book of Philippians chapter 3 is the same Greek word, kata lambano. Oh, for so long as a young Christian, I used to read Ephesians chapter 3. I said, Lord, what is this comprehend with all saints? What do you mean, comprehend? And because I base it on our English word comprehend, which means a mental comprehension, I didn't quite get that understanding. Until I saw that the word comprehend is the Greek word katalambano, which means to receive or lay hold of.
Then the meaning became clear. You see, the same word comprehend, which is katalambano, is used in Philippians 3, verse 12. And here's where it is. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may katalambano that for which Christ has also katalambano of me.
Wow. Same word.
So, taking the usage of the word lay hold and holding on into Ephesians 3, we see the full meaning. This is what Paul is trying to say in chapter 3, verse 18. Let's read verse 17 as a background. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to lay hold, take, receive with all the saints. Now, isn't that clear now? That together in one body, as believers in Christ, there are some things you cannot receive alone. There are some things you can receive together with all the saints and helping one another to receive to the fullness of Christ. Christ has already laid hold of us, but we are not able to lay hold of Christ. Right now, if you're born again, you accepted Jesus as Lord, Christ has laid hold of you. But let's admit it, we don't lay hold of Christ. We let Him go many times, and we find ourselves drowning. He is in the boat, but we scream, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Because we don't know how to lay hold on Him. Let's be honest. We know we are born again. We know we are on the way to heaven. But yet, we have not known how to lay hold of God. Why? Because our spirit man, our inner man, is weak. He has roped us, but we are not holding on. So as a result, the indwelling of Christ through our lives is not manifest. In chapter 1 and 2, we have Jesus perfecting everything in our spirit. Now in chapter 3 and 4, He's trying to perfect everything in our soul. And in chapter 5 and 6, we will see the perfection of the physical body. So 1 and 2 is the spirit, 3 and 4 is the soul, 5 and 6 is the body. Together, isn't this a powerful, interesting book? That, and we see the harmony in chapter 4. Chapter 4, we see here that verse 16, from which the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There we see the key. That this working of Christ on our inside, as our spirit man expands, as our inner man is strengthened, kratos, as we grow and we are able to receive and lay hold of the love of God, rooted and grounded. I mean, we are not lay hold of love. We are not lay hold of agape. We are not lay hold of grace. The grace of God that effectively work in our life as we lay hold on love. You see, one of the things that prevent the Church of Jesus Christ from growing is that the Church of Jesus Christ does not want to walk in agape love. But when we choose, and we know it's a choice, do you know that God cannot force us to love our enemies? He wants us to, but He won't force us to. We make a choice. And sometimes many Christians will admit it. They want to hate, they want to have unforgiveness. And yet, we have to let go first.
Isn't it funny? We have to let go before we can hold on. We let go by inviting Christ to hold on to our life. And then we hold on to that which Christ has given unto us. And then we could grow in God. The key theme in chapter 3 and 4 is the word agape and the word charis, which is the Greek word for the word grace. The grace of God working in our life. The grace of God flowing forth in our life. Oh, hallelujah. Paul talks about this grace that comes upon his life, flowing in him. And in chapter 3, verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. This energizing grace carries in His life. This energizing love, this energizing charis that works in His life and establishes Him in chapter 4. It's still talking about the fivefold ministries, but you notice here in verse 7, to each one of us grace was given. Again, grace is mentioned. So in chapter 1 and 2, we are lifted up into the heavenly place. In chapter 3 and 4, we find God now coming down again. Through charis, grace, and through love. Now that brings us to understand fully the flow of this book. See, we know the four Greek words for power. And then we know the two Greek words here for mind, dianoia, phronesis, and then also dialogismos. And we see its relationship, plus we see in chapter 1 and 2, it's we coming up. We being lifted up away from the law of sin and death. Away from the gravitational pull of the law of sin and death. And what propulsion power are we going to go up under? Kratos and Iskus. The overcoming prevailing power. You see, when it says prevail, it means you got an enemy. When it says avail, there's something that's sapping your strength that you got to overcome. So it's Kratos and Iskus that help you prevail. Just like a rocket going up, it had to prevail against a pull of gravitational force. But when you hit past a certain area, you go into free fall, where gravitational force does not have the same force that it has on this earth. So the pulling forth, drawing forth, the working, energizing, pulling forth is that word that we learned long ago in the Gospel of Luke. Prosuke. Prosuke. So here you see Iskus, here you see Kratos. And Iskus and Kratos join together. Prosuke means to pour out. As it works out from within you, you pour out. But the pouring outwards is going up to God. Prosuke to God. Prosuke to God. It draws you to God. And prosuke to God. And then, the other Greek word for prayer that we learn, also in Gospel of Luke, when we study that, deisis, which means to draw grace. It means supplication. And you draw grace down. Having been up there, you are able to draw grace down. Isn't it interesting? If you look at it carefully. Here, we see God laying hold of us. And we laying hold of God. But then you must see the other opposite. We are laying hold of God here. And then, we are bringing forth that same presence of God to this earth. There is chapter 3 and 4. Just as God draws us up, we draw God's presence down to this earth. That's chapter 3 and 4. That's how the fivefold ministries come about. That's what Paul in chapter 3 talks about his ministry. Deesis, D-E-S-I-S. The Greek word for prayer, which is translated supplication. To draw down. To draw down the grace of God.